We want to welcome everybody here today, everybody in North County watching online, whoever's watching online, how you doing? Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible say word. Word. One more time, say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to the second book of the Bible, Exodus. The second book of the Bible, verse 19. Verse 19. Verse 19. As you turn there, I want to tell you a story. Yesterday, I did a wedding, and it was a wedding of a young man I've known since he was in junior high. Now he's 20-something years old. Last week, I did a wedding of a young girl who was born the same year as my daughter. So my wife and her mom was pregnant together, so I've known her all her life. So they're getting old. Luckily, I'm still the same age as I was, 28 years old myself. But when I was doing this wedding, the bride came up and they were facing each other reciting the vows. You know, I forsake all other honeys all the rest of my life. I will have and hold only you, whether we're poor or rich, whether I'm sick or healthy. No matter what, I'm going to be focused only on you. And as they're saying these vows to each other, you know, everything mine is yours and everything yours is mine, basically. And I'm going to love only you and be faithful to only you. As they're reciting these rules, they're not complaining, they're smiling. And everybody in the crowd is smiling. Like, no one's complaining, oh, man, that's hard. You're only going to love her, and you're only going to sleep with her, and, you know, you're going to give her share all your money with her and your house, and, man, why are you going to do that? No one's saying that. Everyone's like, this is so good. They're committed to each other. They're going to serve each other, lay their life down for each other. You know, and the Bible says that a wife should submit to a husband, but it also says that the husband's supposed to love the wife as Christ loved the church. He died for the church. So the wife is supposed to submit, and the husband's supposed to die. So he's like, yes, I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to submit to you. And nobody's complaining. Why? Because they're in love, and they know that these rules and guidelines are the best chance, are going to give them the best chance to have a powerful relationship. A lot of times the Bible gets a bad rap and Christianity gets a bad rap because of all the rules. I don't want to do those rules and God doesn't want me to do this and he's taking all the fun out of my life. Uh-uh. This book right here, it's wedding vows. That's all it is. All the rules are wedding vows. We are in week 7 or 8 of a series called The Royal. Everyone say Royal. And The Royal is a story about a little boy who you just saw out here a few minutes ago. And he was born into a royal family. His parents die. And he's being mentored by this older, wise man. And the wise man is going to disciple him in 7 books to prepare him to live and rule in his father's kingdom. And what we're going to do is we are going to follow the story as this young boy is discipled in these 7 books. But we are the royal. We are going to one day live in our heavenly father's kingdom. And we are being discipled in 7 books. What we're going to call the 7 biblical genres of the Bible. There's more than 7 literary styles in the Bible. We're going to study 7 of them. Last month, we looked at biblical narrative and how in biblical narrative you have a God's friend and Satan's friend battling in every biblical story. And God, the hero, comes and saves the day. Today, we're going to start a new series, book 2 in the series called The Royal. It's called Loyalty. I'm going to say Loyalty. And Loyalty is a mini-series, on Old Testament law. Now, Old Testament law is like, man, that's boring. Who reads that stuff? It talks about foods we can't eat and, you know, what we got to do when we get a scab and all this stuff that has nothing to do with us. Okay? Has nothing to do with us. And so a lot of people don't read it. And they say it doesn't apply to us anymore. Well, what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, this week, next week, and the week after, is we're going to look at the Old Testament law at a high level and give you an understanding of what it's for, how to understand it. We're also going to give you a daily reading that you can read every single day. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. so you can practice what we learn on Sunday. But what we're going to do is first is we're going to look at the context of Old Testament law. And I want you to imagine this. 2 million Jews were in bondage, in slavery in Egypt. Pharaoh was the king. He was the Pharaoh. And he had 2 million Jews in slavery. It started out with 70 Jews. They multiplied over 400 years to be over 2 million. Moses, his parents are slaves. He's born. He runs as a fugitive. And God calls Moses at the age of 80 to go back and confront Pharaoh so Pharaoh will let his people go. So after 10 plagues that God sends down from heaven, 2 million slaves, Jewish slaves, are delivered from Egypt, and they start walking to the promised land. They don't know where they're going. They ended up walking 40 years. They could have got there in 11 days. It took 40 years, and all of them over the age of 20 died, never got there. As a side note, God wants to bless you today. You're not obedient, it'll take a long time. And you may die and never receive the blessing. But it ain't because of God, it's because of us. So they walk in and they get to Mount Sinai. Everybody say Sinai. Everyone give me a hand. Put your hand up like this. Do this in front of your face. Okay, you have sinuses. This is Mount Sinai. Okay, just a little something for you to remember. So they get to Mount Sinai. And God is going to come down on Mount Sinai, and God is going to say to them, I want to introduce myself to you. I am God, and here are the rules of our relationship. Old Testament law. We're going to be married. I'm going to be your spiritual husband. You're going to be my bride. All throughout the Bible, God is the husband, and the church is his people, or the bride, or his wife. All throughout the Bible. You had Adam and Eve was a role model. Then you had God and Israel, and then Christ and the church. The whole Bible, God is the husband, the church or his people are his bride. And in the end, in the book of Revelation, there is a wedding feast where Christ comes down and has dinner with his bride. So God is going to introduce himself to Mount Sinai to 2 million Jews, and he's going to say, here are the wedding vows. Here are the rules of our relationship. If you want to have a good relationship with me, you follow these rules. If you don't want to have a good relationship with me, don't follow the rules. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, which means a dumb question to all of you and all of you in North County, wherever you're listening, online, wherever. How many of you, by a show of hands, and wherever you're at, even if you're by yourself in your house, I want you to do this. How many of you want to have a really good relationship with God? Very good. Let me ask it again. Just maybe you didn't hear me and your arm got a cramp and it went up by accident. How many of you want to have a really good relationship with God? Yeah, we got one woo. Okay, hopefully that'll multiply. I'm going to do it one more time because the woo fired me up. How many of y'all want to have a good relationship with God? There we go, okay. I'm going to tell you the very simple way. Do what he says. That's it. Do what he says. Let's read. Chapter 19. Exodus, second book of the Bible. Says, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Everyone say Sinai. Give me the Sinai sign. Very good. For they departed from Rephidim and came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And this wilderness is the desert wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, everyone say Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Remember, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. And those 12 sons are the 12 patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So Jacob and Israel, same person. Verse 4. He said, God says to Moses, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, whenever you hear someone say the Jews are God's people, what that means, that comes from this concept, is that this is the first time God is going to reveal himself to a people and give them his laws. So what he's saying is, I'm going to introduce my laws and my character to the world through you. So you are going to be a special people to me, not my only people, because anybody who gets with my program will be my people. Anybody who wants to get with my program, but God is saying, this is all about me. It's not about you. I'm the one who sets the rules. I'm the one who enforces the rules. We'll get to that in a minute. So what God is saying, Israel, I am going to introduce my character and my laws to the world through you. I'm going to introduce you through you. And if you want to be my special people, through whom which I reveal myself to the world, do what I say. Because eventually Christ came from the Jews, and he said, now this is all available to everybody. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 5, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand and say woo again, because I like that. It felt kind of good. I want you to say woo if you want to be a special treasure to God. Woo! Excellent. That doesn't mean you don't want someone else to be a special treasure, and it doesn't mean if you're blessed, someone else can't be blessed. This is right now, this is about you. Do you, and you answer the question, you don't need to answer it again, but the question is, you're saying, I want to be a special treasure to God. Look, let's keep reading what it says next. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Then he's going to tell them how to do it. That's the Old Testament law. Now, a priest is a bridge builder. You have God, and you have someone who doesn't know God, and you're in the middle building a bridge. So if you walk with God, talk like God, act like God, people will experience a little bit of God from you and want to know more, you introduce them to God. That's what a priest is. That's what a priest does. That's his job, to be in between man and God. Okay, so what the Bible's saying is that all of us can be priests. Okay, culturally and religiously, we have a concept of a priest. Biblically, it's a different story. God is saying, not that our culture religious thing is wrong, but God is saying, I want you to be a priest. That's what the Bible says. So I want you to be a bridge builder. I want you to know my word. I want you to live my word. I want you to talk about my word. I want you to pray for people, and I want you to bring people to me. Same thing. That's what we do. That's a priest. That's what God is saying here. So what God is saying to Israel is that your whole nation, you are going to represent me to the world. That's what he's telling Moses on the mountain, and Moses is going to walk down the mountain and say this to 2.5 million people, saying, you see those thunder and lightning up there in the mountain? That was God. And we're not going to read it. You can read it later, but he basically is going to tell the people, you can't go up there or he'll kill you. For reals, though. Everyone say, for reals, though. For reals, though. That means for real, though. So Moses is going to tell him, God don't play, God blah, blah, and he's going to tell him all these rules. And what we're going to do this week, next 2 weeks, is talk at a high level of what those rules are about and how we can understand them and apply them to our life, because they are very important. The first thing we're going to do today is we're going to look at 8 observations of Old Testament law. Okay, 8 observations, and you know, it's number 1. The law, if you ever hear the law in your notes, number 1, 8 observations, 8 Old Testament law observations. 1, the law is another name for the first 5 books of the Bible. Everyone says, oh, I want to read the Old Testament law or the law of Moses. They're talking about the first 5 books of the Bible, but the rules, the specific rules, are in books 2 to 5, starting with the 10 commandments, which is the Exodus chapter 20. And actually, next week, we're going to look at the 10 commandments. We'll study the Ten Commandments next week. And by the way, we're going to ask, do they apply to us or do they not? Because some of the Old Testament law applies to us, and some of it, in letter anyway, specifically, and some of it doesn't, but it all applies to us in spirit. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But basically, when you hear the law of Moses or the book of the law, they're talking about the first 5 books of the Bible. Okay? Number 2 in your notes, Old Testament law is a covenant relationship between God and ancient Israel. Everyone say covenant. Take a deep breath in. Say covenant. Covenant is a pact or agreement that 2 people make, and they're going to agree to keep both their ends. When you see a wedding, I did a wedding yesterday. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, forsaking all others until you both shall die, or whatever, as long as you both shall live? When I was doing the wedding, the guy kind of stumbled during the thing, and he was real relaxed, and he stumbled, and he went, "Oh, this is my first time. I'm just, you know, trying to I never did this before." And the wife said, "And you never will do it again." It's one of those kind of weddings. It was great, though. It was perfect. But when you say these rules, you're saying, "I am going to have a relationship with you." And then the wife says the same thing back because it's a covenant. It's not the husband saying, "You will do this, and I'm going to make you do it." No, the husband's saying, "Here's what I am going to do." And then the wife says, "Here's what I am going to do." And they say exactly the same thing. Covenant. God is saying to Moses, "You are going to tell Israel my covenant with them. But they have to agree with it if they want to be blessed." Okay, God wants to make a covenant with you. Okay, number three. Covenant also means testament. The old covenant sets the stage for the new covenant, which is established by Jesus in the New Testament. When you have the Old Testament, guess what? It's the Old Covenant. New Testament, New Covenant. Old Testament, covenant was written on stone. New Testament, covenant written in your heart. Who? The Old Covenant or the Old Testament is a foundation for the New Testament. We learn from the Old Testament about the New Testament. That's why it's so important to understand the Old Testament. We saw last month, we were talking about biblical narrative. We saw these characters, the God's friend, Satan's friend, people. Moses is God's friend. Pharaoh was Satan's friend. Why do we know he's Satan's friend? Because he's opposing God. Okay? And we saw over the Book of Warriors, in this series, the Book of Warriors, that we are living a narrative every day that you and I are either God's friend or Satan's friend. We're either promoting God's kingdom or we're not. And we have people in our life who are either promoting God's kingdom or we're not. And there's a battle, and God always comes in and rectifies the situation somehow. Okay? So the Old Testament stories teach us about New Testament realities. And so what this is a covenant. You're going to read agreement, wedding vows between God and ancient Israel, and they're going to have application to us. Okay? In your notes, there's a little italicized. It says, "God is the covenant giver and covenant enforcer." In other words, God says, "Here are the rules. If you obey me, here are the blessings I will shower on you. And if you don't obey me, here is the pain that will come." Now, is it a threat? Absolutely not. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's like saying to your kid one of two things. Actually, two things. If you put your hand on the hot stove, it's going to be burned. Now, if the hand gets burned, is it the parent's fault? No. Did the parent do it? No. That's just reality. So when God tells you if you lie, bad things happen, it's not God's fault that the bad thing happens. This week I'm going to have a tour. I'm taking a tour in a prison. About a warden, and we're going to see a lot of people who did something that had a consequence. Is it God's fault? No. And by the way, I would bet you, because I've been in many, many, many prisons and talked to many, many, many inmates, that none of them will blame God that they're there as a consequence of what they did. They'll say, "No, I did it, and I need to be here," because they know it. Okay? So God is the covenant giver and covenant enforcer. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Now, some people say, "I ain't bowing my knee." Well, you ever been driving down the street and you're just listening to music, driving, not paying attention to how fast you're going, and you look in your rearview mirror and the po-po is behind you? "Honey, what's the po-po?" I didn't really understand that, was it? What is the po-po? The police, the popo. So what do? Well, first, your heart starts to beating faster without even you asking your heart to be faster. It's automatic. Can I get amen? and then you ease up off the gas. Don't put the brake on because you're saying, I'm going too fast. No, just ease up and let it happen naturally. Some of y'all who just got a ticket said, man, I wish I would have known that last week. Do you also turn the music down? You sit up straight? If you do that when the po-po is behind you, what do you think you're going to do when you see God? Let me tell you. Oh, Jesus. Thought you said you weren't going to bow. Oh, yeah, you're going to bow. Whether it's Jesus is Lord, my Lord, or Jesus, oh, my Lord. So God is the covenant giver, but he's also the covenant enforcer. Number four. I'm in Ebonics flow right now, okay? Just work with me. Old Testament law consists of 613 rules and regulations, which are summarized in two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Love God. And the second is just like it, love your neighbor. And then he says, all the law and the prophets is summarizing that. You can summarize the whole Bible in that. Love God, love what's your neighbor. What does it mean to love God? Do what he says. Has nothing to do with emotion. What does it mean to love your neighbor? Help them do what God says. Has nothing to do with emotion. When you disagree with somebody, it doesn't mean you hate them. I know our culture is trying to brainwash us. If you're politically incorrect on certain issues, you're a hater. That's not true. That's manipulation. It's like I was in a grocery store when I was a kid, actually a department store when I was a little kid. I have two brothers and two sisters, and so there's five of us with my father and my mother. And this kid wasn't getting what he wanted, and he was stomping on the ground, screaming, rolling on the floor. Which, whenever I saw that, I always wondered how they get away with that. Because in my house, we never, never, never did that. We never talked back. Why? Because we got a hand upside the head. Bat. So we got spanking. Child Protective Services did not exist in my neighborhood. The child protector was my dad and my mom, and that was it. That was the law. He was a cop, so he had a gun. Who was going to do anything, right? So we got whooped. Period. We got whooped. So we're in the grocery store, in the department store. My father is already mad because he's in the store. And we're looking at this kid. Just like ranting and raving. You know, the mother's trying to hold the arm like he's fishing, like, you know, wild fish going around. And we're looking at all five of us. I was probably like 5 years old. My brother was like one. But I still remember this. And if I don't, this is how it would have happened. We were all standing like this. All thinking the same thing. How come that kid ain't getting whooped? We look about our dad, and he's thinking the kid needs whooping, but because I can't whoop that kid, I'm going to whoop these kids. So we all start getting bam, bam, bam. I'm just saying. But the point of telling you all that is because sometimes God has to give you a whooping. But it doesn't mean he hates you. He's trying to straighten you out. Because those kind of kids end up in juvenile hall. Now, kids like me end up in juvenile hall too, but just for different reasons. But, you know, God, when for you to love somebody is to help them obey, and sometimes people despise you for helping them obey God. But you have to help them obey anyway because that is where they get most blessed. And you have to obey because that's where you get most blessed. Okay? So all the law, all these rules that we're going to read about, and we're not going to read them all, but all these rules you hear about, you know, don't eat this food and don't do this, don't do that, all that is summarized in you just obeying God. and loving your neighbor, helping them obey God. That's this whole book. What's a wedding about? I'm going to love you. You're going to love me. That's what it's about. It's about. Number five. Old Testament law describes loyalty to God in three relationships. It describes loyalty to God in three relationships. Whenever you read Old Testament law, God is teaching them to be loyal in their relationship with he's telling the Jews, here's how you are loyal in your relationship with God. So there's religious rituals. Here's how you are loyal in your relationship to your fellow Jews. And here's how you are loyal to non-Jews or people who are not with my laws, non-believers. We have the same thing. We have things we're supposed to do in our relationship to God. We're supposed to go to church. Why? Because God says so. We're supposed to read the Bible? Because God says so. We're supposed to serve and tithe and be patient with each other and pray for each other, pray for our enemies. Why? Because God says so. God said, this is how you are faithful to me. And I'm going to empower you to do it. I'm going to give you wisdom to do it. And I'm going to give you loud preachers that can talk all day so you are for sure though know how to do it. Okay? So all these laws are going to teach you how to be relationship, you're faithful and loyal in your relationship with God, how to be loyal in your relationship with fellow believers, and to them it was Jews, and non-believers or Gentiles. Okay? Israel's problem, in your italics, it says Israel's problem came not because they couldn't keep the law, but because they chose not to. When you read the Old Testament, which I hope you're doing and will do with the homework we give you, you're going to read about them getting in a whole lot of trouble. Their enemies are going to overtake them. They're going to get, you know, taken as slaves. They're going to get killed, all stuff. And it was because they didn't obey God. It was because they didn't obey God. And then when we talk about prophets, the prophet's job was to come back and say, you guys are getting punished because you're not obeying God, you didn't obey God, the law. That's what the prophets did. They didn't say, well, here's what's going to happen in the future. Like 1 or 2% of their stuff was about, you know, here's what's going to happen in the end. What their job was to do was to get Israel to obey the law. That's what their purpose was. That was it. Simple as that. Okay, so God is saying, here's the laws, and these laws are what you need to be loyal to in your relationship with God, in your relationship with Jews and non-Jews. Okay, number six, Old Testament laws reveal, one, that God requires holiness. Everyone say holiness. Holiness. Old Testament law says God is holy, therefore you be holy like I am holy. There is no compromise in standard moral standards. God provides guidelines to holiness. So here's what God's going to say. Look up here for a minute. God's going to say to you, you need to be holy. I'm the one who's going to tell you what holiness is. In other words, I'm the one, God, I'm not God, but you know what I'm saying, God. God is saying, I'm the one who decides right and wrong, not you. And by the way, if you make a mistake on right and wrong, how you know your mistake is a mistake is that if your right is really wrong to God, your right will bring death. For example, if you believe something you're doing in your life is right because you want it and it feels good, if it's really wrong, it'll bring death. So some of y'all have habits, you know, maybe an addiction or how you talk to people or whatever. And you say, this is just the way I am. Well, by the way we are is sinners. So don't hold on to that. You got to let that go. But if you think this is, you know, I'm just going to get drunk every night. Okay, well, if you believe that's right and the Bible says it's wrong, what will happen in the end? The proof will be, does it bring life or death? That's one of the evidences. And spiritual life with God and or spiritual death, which is alienation from God, and social death, physical death, emotional death, etc. Drama in your life. Or does it bring life? Okay? So number six, it says the law reveals that God requires holiness. The law says God provides guidelines to holiness. And then the law says, guess what? Holiness can't, or salvation cannot be attained through the law. What? Wait. Yeah, the law says you need to be holy. The law says here's how to be holy. And then the law says, guess what? You ain't ever going to get there. I don't get it. It's like you know, we have Navy SEALs that go to church here, and they're incredibly fit people. Incredibly fit. I got to work out with the SEALs one time. Key word, once. We were carrying dudes up sand dunes. I mean, it was all crazy stuff. And that was like baby workout. Okay, that wasn't the real deal, what they do. I wouldn't even try to do what they do. But it'd be like them taking a little kid and saying, you have to be able to swim 2 miles and do all the stuff we do. We're going to show you how to do it, but we're going to tell you in advance, you ain't going to make it. You're going to need help. Everyone say help. And guess who the help is? Jesus. Jesus. Let's think now. God says, I'm going to show you my standard. I'm going to tell you you have to meet my standard. Then I'm going to show you you can't on your own power because my standard's too high. So I'm going to send you help, my son. Let's keep reading. Number 7. Old Testament law lays the foundation for establishing and maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ because it points us to him. And then it says, Old Testament law is God's word to us, but not necessarily God's commands to us. In other words, there are some things in Old Testament law we don't need to do anymore. We're going to talk about that. So what we're going to do next is I'm going to give you the rules for reading. Now, how many of you would like to be able to read the Bible every day and understand it better? Raise your hand. Very good. Let me get whatever that sound y'all made before. And if you don't remember, just make any sound. How many of y'all like to read the Bible more often and understand it better? Okay. In your hand, you have a reading plan. On the back, it's a devotional plan. Okay. We're going to give that to you every week. If you don't have it, you can download it online. We're going to give that to you every week. Go to RockSanDiego.org/the royal. We have a little book there, kind of guides you through this whole series. So what I'm going to do now is teach you how to use that reading plan. So we've just got a few minutes left. I want you to pay close attention, okay? Listen very carefully. Con cuidado. Okay, for all y'all know what that means. Number one, reading rules. Here are the reading rules for Old Testament law. We're going to give you just a few rules. Number one, you want to identify which of the three relationships the law is giving Israel guidance on. So if we say, read this passage and its rules, first question you have to ask yourself is God giving Israel guidelines on their relationship with God or people? Okay? And there's three relationships. The relationship between Israel and God, Israel and fellow Jew, and Israel and Gentile. So what I'm going to do when I give you the reading rules in your notes, I'm going to put in bold which one it is. And it'll explain all this to you. It's already in your notes. So you don't have to answer that question, but that's a question that has to be answered. Who's God talking to and who's he telling to have a relationship with? Number two, under read, it says identify which of the three categories of the law is being taught. Is it a religious ritual? Is it an ethical law? Is it a civil law? So I want you to imagine you have 2 million Jews walking around in the desert. They have no jail. They have no toilets. They have no police. So what God is going to tell them is that when you go to the bathroom, here's what you do. It's a health thing. These kind of foods are going to give you allergies out here. Don't eat them. These kind of foods are eaten by the pagan religions, and they're eaten this way. Don't do that. Don't do that because that is going to associate yourself with a pagan god. When someone kills somebody intentionally, here's what you do to them. No jails, no police. When someone kills somebody by accident, here's what you do to them. So God is trying to tell them how to live in a society because they never lived on their own. They were slaves. They had everything done for them. So God is going to give them rules on how to have a society out there in the middle of nowhere. You have to decide which rules. Again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in bold, this is a religious ritual. It's ethical or civil. So you're going to know when you're reading, and it's already in your notes, it's going to say bold, relationship with Israelites. Bold, civil or moral ethical rules. Okay? And then you're going to discover what it means to them. What does it mean to them? And then in your reflect time, everyone say reflect. You remember what you do when you read the Bible, you read it and you discover what it meant. Then you reflect on it. What does it mean to me? And then you respond, what am I going to do? Now, whenever you read Old Testament law, there is a letter of the law and a spirit of the law. The letter of the law is you do exactly what it says. For example, thou shalt not lie. Do you think you should follow the letter of the law? Yes or no? Yes. And the only reason you should follow the letter of the law is because the Old Testament tells you to. Not because you think so. There's another law that says you shouldn't eat bottom feeders, you know, shrimp and crabs and stuff that eat that crawl on the bottom of the sea. You shouldn't eat those. Should we eat it or should we not? Okay, so the letter of the law says you do exactly what the Bible says, and the spirit of the law says just do kind of what it really, the God's heart behind it. Well, when it comes to shellfish, which people always say, well, does it mean we can't eat shellfish because the Old Testament? No, in the New Testament, guess what God said? Don't worry about it. Now, the spirit of the law, though, means that those bottom feeders, they're nasty because they're eating all fish excrement that falls to the bottom. If you knew what you're eating, you might not eat it. Oh, but this shrimp is good. Now, shrimp is the bomb. Don't get me wrong. I don't eat crab, but I mean, I had it a couple times. Lobster, I don't eat lobster a whole lot, but, you know, it's good. But you need to know when God says don't eat something, and then he says, oh, okay, you can go ahead and eat it, but you need to know it's still got nasty stuff in it. Like pork, you know, sausage, you know, pig, tastes good. But it's bad for you. So God's going to say, listen, I told them that then. We're going to get more into this later. But the letter of the law is you do exactly what it says. The spirit of the law says you don't need to obey it explicitly, but just understand my spirit. And my spirit is I'm trying to keep you healthy. God told them when they build a house that they had to build a fence around the roof. That was one of the laws. And if someone fell off the roof, you would be accountable. What the fence was is to keep them safe. It was a safety issue. That's all. And all God is saying is be careful. Be careful. Okay? And so in Reflect, it says apply the letter and the spirit of the law if it is repeated in the New Testament. So if you read something in the Old Testament, it says you shouldn't eat shellfish, for example. And then you see in the New Testament it says you shouldn't eat shellfish, then you should obey it. But if in the New Testament it says all food is clean, eat it, just bless it to God, which is what it says, then you go, I don't have to obey the Old Testament law. But understand this. Look what it says next. Apply only the Spirit if it's fulfilled in the New Testament. You still have to apply the Spirit of the Lord, which means this, that you may be able to eat pork today, but it doesn't mean that pork is safe. In other words, it doesn't mean it's really healthy to you. Cook it good. Matter of fact, this is just me now, I'm talking, and if you talk to anybody who's in health, meat is no good for you. I stopped eating meat about a month ago. I'm saying don't do it because of me, but it's hard to digest. You know what the best, most complete food is? A bean. Beans are the most complete food on the planet. You and I were created to eat stuff that grows from a bush or a tree. You want to have the most healthy diet, and you want to be the most healthy and live longest? Eat what God grows out of the ground. Don't ever drink milk from another animal. We're the only animal on the earth that drinks milk from another animal. You don't see cows drinking turtle milk. That would be funny. So I see that happen. You know, you don't see little baby elephants trying to drink cow milk. They only drink the milk of their species. We're the only animal in the world that drinks milk from another animal. And guess what? It's not good for you. But that's just me. I mean, I shouldn't say it's just me. That's me and the doctors that know a lot more than me telling you this. You can eat what you want. But the point is this. We all need to know that God says, hey, go ahead. But I'm telling you, the spirit of what God's trying to tell you is that some stuff is better for you than others. That's the spirit of it. And some stuff you better cook really good. Not just go do willy-nilly what you do because there'll be consequences. You go to some countries and you'll see dogs dead, stripped to the skin, hanging, and they sell them for food. Now, you would never eat a dog, but they eat dog. And by the way, you go there and they serve you up dog, and you go, ow, ow, and you got to eat that bad boy. It won't bark at you, but it's dog. You know, you got to be hospitable, but just beware. Hopefully cook it good. But the point is this, the spirit of what God is telling you is that some stuff is safe, some stuff is not safe. And what God was telling Israel is, I'm going to tell you what you need to do in this very high-risk situation. Y'all walking around the wilderness for 40 years. So reflect. Number one, it says apply the letter and spirit of the law if it is repeated in the New Testament. And number two, apply only the spirit of the law if it is fulfilled in the New Testament. What does that mean? In 2 weeks from now, we're going to look at Jesus said, I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. In other words, I fulfill the requirements of the law. In the Old Testament, you had to kill an animal, shed blood to have your sins forgiven. They did that over and over and over again. Jesus said, you know what? I am going to shed my blood, so you don't need to do that anymore. A lot of the New Testament is abolished because Christ fulfilled it in his life. What you're going to do every time you read, every week, you're going to see a different rules for that whole week, and I'm going to put it in bold. Now, it may be hard for you at first to get this. I can't encourage you enough, because all these Old Testament laws somehow are related to you. Somehow the Spirit of God and his intent for your life and his intent to bless your relationship with him is in it. And these devotionals will guide you to see that. So next week, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we're supposed to obey the letter of the Ten Commandments. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't murder. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't commit adultery. And all the letter of those and the spirit of what they mean. The spirit as well. So when God says don't tell a lie, we cut corners and we tell half lies. We tell white lies. Why does it got to be white? I don't know. Some of y'all made that one up. I don't know. Why does it got to be a white lie? Why can't it be a black lie? You know what I'm saying? Why is the white lie good and the black lie bad? I mean, what's up with that? I'm just making an observation. You know, I'm just trying to observe the world around me. But we try to cut corners and say, well, that's not that bad. That's not that good. And the God says, no, I don't want you to bear any false witness. Anything that's not right, don't gossip. Don't commit adultery. All sexual sin he's talking about. Starts in the heart. We're going to look at that. So here's my challenge to you. And here's, we remember, read, reflect, respond. Your response for this week, do the devotionals that you have in your hand. We didn't write them because we had nothing to do. We wanted to empower you. So this week, do the devotionals, read it every day. And guess what? If you don't get it, you go, I can't get it. Try again. It's not making any sense. Call somebody up. Read it. Reflect, respond. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. And we thank you that you have given us rules and guidelines to have a powerful relationship with you. Wedding vows. We want to love you the way we're supposed to, and we want to receive your blessings that are associated with a healthy relationship. Lord, my prayer is that everyone listening would read their Bible this week every day. They would follow the rules that we gave them and follow the schedule that we gave them, and that you would reveal truth to them and show them how easy it can be to understand the Bible and to apply it to their life. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. God bless you.